Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is from Genesis chapter 18, especially these verses. The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." This is our text. As we unpack this reading from Genesis 18, I want to give you very briefly the lay of the land. The first part of the sermon, we're going to be considering the hospitality that Abraham showed to the visitors that appeared at his tent. And in the second half, we'll be considering the promise that he and Sarah received from those visitors. When we hear that the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, we already know more about this strange visitor than Abraham does. Sitting at his tent flap in the heat of the day, Abraham doesn't know who it is. He has zero clue. It's a reminder that one never knows who might show up on any given day. In fact, the letter to the Hebrews adds another wrinkle, another layer to this when it says, "Don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Speaking of Abraham in Genesis 18. So one never knows when angels or even the Lord might appear. But the point in Hebrews is not simply that we should entertain angels if they show up. Rather, the point is actually about strangers. Mere mortals are worthy of good hospitality. Every human being bears the image of God and thus has inherent worth and dignity. Abraham's situation, as we see him in Genesis 18, is different than Martha's in Luke chapter 10. Martha knew exactly who her guest was, and she couldn't understand why her sister Mary was just sitting there and not being more hospitable. You can almost hear Martha crying out, "Jesus is here. Come on, Mary. You know, up and at him. Lend a hand." But Abraham's situation is different. Abraham doesn't know. Through the shimmering heat waves of the noon desert, he simply sees three men standing in front of him. To me, the fact that he doesn't know who it is makes his actions even more remarkable. I mean, you heard it read. The speed at which Abraham flies into action is amazing. Of course, we say, if we knew that it was an angel or Jesus, we'd be on our feet in an instant. But would we? Do we make haste to serve our brother or sister when they appear at our door? All Abraham knows is that three strangers draw near. We know more. We know that this is an appearance of the Lord. That's why the image of the Holy Trinity appears on the bulletin cover. When Abraham receives them with hospitality, he's receiving the Lord himself. And it seems to me that when they appear coming out of the desert, they probably didn't look glorious, shining with light or something like that. It seems like they were more likely to appear in a lowly and wretched form, naked, hungry, tired from the journey, almost like exiles who had just been released from a prison. At least that seems to be how Abraham regards them, because he runs from the tent flap to meet them, and he bows down to the earth, and he is entreating them to come in, O Lord, he says, if I found favor in your sight, don't pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you come to your servant. And they're more than glad to do so. Abraham, Sarah, and the servants get to work. Hurry, hurry, knead the dough and make cakes. Hurry, grab a calf, tender and good, from the flock. It reminds me how the loving father received back the prodigal son. Kill the fattened calf. And the flurry of activity here culminates in Abraham taking curds and milk and the calf that he prepared and setting it before them. And he stood under the tree while they ate. A beautiful picture of hospitality. But before we go further, I think we should reflect on that a little bit more. Did you notice where Abraham started? He was at the door, which is to say that he was ready. He was waiting. He was even on the lookout for someone in need of hospitality. He didn't view other people as impositions or as bothers, but in the stranger, he saw an opportunity to serve. I wonder if while he saw these three appearing, if he didn't think of Adam, our first father, kicked out of the Garden of Eden, exiled because of what Satan had done. Or perhaps Abraham was reflecting on his own personal experience. You remember how in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees, his homeland, and travel 1,000 miles to the land of Canaan. And then he spent many years wandering up and down that land. So when he sees those three, he remembers Adam, he remembers his own situation, he sees their need and he is ready to serve them. What a beautiful picture this is of a man who is generous and open-handed toward others. And he's especially ready to help those who suffer for the faith. He knows that many who believe will be wanderers and exiles, will suffer and be persecuted, and he is ready to help them. And Abraham doesn't wait until they knock at the door and ask for hospitality. He doesn't crack it open, this far to ask who's there. He sits at the entrance, and he sees them from afar, and he runs to meet them. He runs as if he's afraid someone else might get there first and have these guests instead of him. Sitting at the door, that's how we picture Abraham. Ready to serve with a heart shaped by kindness. What an example for us. And how much more should we be ready to show hospitality? In the parable of the sheep and the goats from Matthew chapter 25, do you remember what Jesus says? He says, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, feeding them, clothing them, visiting them, giving them a cup of cold water, you did it to me." To me, Jesus says. And that's how Abraham acted, and it really was to me, to the Lord, though Abraham didn't yet know it. Now, I'm sure there are lots of ways we can apply this to our own lives individually and personally, but it occurs to me that we ought to consider how we apply this to ourselves as a congregation. What hospitality can we show? How do we welcome the strangers into our midst? Maybe on a very practical level, we could simply ask this. How do you handle it when a stranger takes your parking space or your pew? Are you sitting at the door waiting to welcome them in, scooting over? Or are you wondering, don't they know this is where I sit? A small thing, really. But how we welcome people actually is important. How we are ready with kindness, to bring them into our midst and to share with them the hospitality that we enjoy and the word of our Lord that we have and the gifts that he gives us here in his church. So that's the first part of the sermon, the hospitality and graciousness that Abraham shows, which perhaps is mirrored by us or perhaps finds us a little bit wanting. Abraham is gracious to his visitors. But perhaps the biggest part of this reading is not so much what Abraham does, which is amazing, but rather what God does. For it is the Lord who would be gracious to Abraham. For the second time, God promises to Abraham a son whose name will be Isaac. In chapter 17, he had just told Abraham, "You will have a son," but now he comes again, appears at Abraham's tent, and tells him for a second time, it seems so that Sarah will hear it. I wonder if Abraham has said to Sarah, "Sarah, you know, God told me that we're going to have a son," but maybe she didn't believe it until she hears it now from the mouth of God himself. They said to Abraham, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." And the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him, and Sarah was thinking, they've got the wrong tent. It's not us, Abraham. Send them on, because Abraham and Sarah were old. I know some of you feel old, but Abraham and Sarah were really old. Advanced in years, the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah, and so she laughed to herself. Not out of joy, but out of skepticism. "After I am worn out, and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" "I don't think so," she says. And the Lord hears. He hears that laugh, and he is unwilling for Sarah to have the last laugh. He will have the greatest laugh of all. Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And the answer is no. It is not too hard for the Lord to give a child to Abraham and Sarah. And it is not too hard for the Lord to show hospitality to them. And it is not too hard for the Lord to grant his grace to sinners like us. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And as proof, he says, "At the appointed time, I shall return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." And Sarah is sitting in the back saying, I didn't laugh. I don't know what that was, but it wasn't me laughing." And the Lord says, "No, but you did laugh. And you're going to laugh even more when that son, Isaac, is born." What is the point of this? It's not simply that the Lord chose to bless this old man and old woman who were childless. The point was that the Lord was going to be faithful to his promises, and his promise was that the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of the serpent, and his promise was to Abraham that his descendants would be like the stars of the heavens and the sand of the seashore. And the Lord's promise was that a son would come, and from his line would come the greater son, the one who puts laughter on all of our lips, the one who pours out his hospitality upon us, the child who would stretch out his arms upon the cross that he might receive sinners like you and me, even those who have failed to show hospitality, that he might receive us with his forgiveness, life, and salvation. And so it happened. Isaac was born, and his name is significant. Isaac means he laughs. And I can't help but think that every time Sarah says his name, she gets a little chuckle. Isaac, he laughs. I laugh. The Lord laughs. The son is born. The promise is being fulfilled. And that's what Isaac is. He is the result not only of a physical union of Abraham and Sarah, he is the result of the promise that the Lord made. You might say that he is like a down payment of the greater promise that is to come and the laughter that will follow for all eternity. And the children of Abraham are those who believe after the example of faithful Abraham. The children of Abraham are you and me. And we are those who receive the gracious hospitality and blessing of our God, not only through Isaac, but through his descendants, our Lord Jesus Christ. For greater even than the conception of Isaac, who was conceived beyond the powers of the flesh, because his parents were old, almost dead, and the possibility of their having a child was beyond nature. But even more, the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit apart from the union of a man and a woman. The child of the promise, who came and was born for you and for me. We consider Abraham to be the father of all who believe. All who believe in what? All who believe in Jesus Christ. And going back to the gospel reading, that is the reason why Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's not because it's a bad thing to show hospitality to Jesus, to welcome him in and to serve him, but because the better portion is to be served by our Lord. The better portion is to receive his hospitality and the promises and gifts that he has. And so Mary sat at his feet. Even as you are sitting now, why are you here? Are you here simply to hear a message about the hospitality of Abraham and how we are called to show hospitality to others? I mean, that's good, but that's not all. You are here to sit at the feet of Jesus because you know that Jesus is the one who has the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the hospitality that you need. It wasn't just a fattened calf that God slaughtered that he might welcome you into his house, into his family, and into his kingdom. It was the very Lamb of God who was sacrificed and prepared for you. This is the promise of redemption given to Abraham and Sarah, the promise of redemption fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and the promise of redemption that is announced to you today. Our Lord is gracious, and he receives you with all your sins, with all your struggles, with all your failings, and he says, "Come into my tent," for he has been sitting at the door watching and waiting for you, and he runs out to greet you and says, "Stay here. Come in. Quick, hurry, prepare everything, the word, the sacraments, the water, the bread, the wine, bring it all out and serve my people. For he is a God full of steadfast love, gracious and merciful to you and to me again today." And the point of whatever hospitality we show, especially as a congregation, it's not that we might pat ourselves on the back for being welcoming to the stranger, but rather so that they too might know this graciousness of God to sinners, to strangers, to exiles, and to us. In Jesus' name, amen.